Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. Welcome back to the Cryptoconomy, everybody. This is Guy Swan, your host, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we are doing a fun little short one today, just because I have a lot of other recording to do on the back end. But this one's really good, and I've been sitting on this for a little bit here. Well, I guess not too long. It's only been like 2 weeks old, maybe. But it is another one by Dare Gigi. And that is DERGIGI, and I have loved his the stuff he's done. We've had him on the show, him and Brandon Quidham. We talked for like 2 hours, I think, about how Bitcoin is a living organism. We read his Proof of Life article, which was really fun in that regard, and then also the incredible 21 Lessons of the Bitcoin Rabbit Hole. So I will link to all of his previous work that we have done on the show, and then his general page at daregg.com, where there is just a huge selection of stuff, resources, so many great articles, and you can find the audio without my commentary. He's got it like listed with each section in the Bitcoin 21 Lessons. I definitely recommend checking out. Just a great resource and so much good writing there. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this piece. The name of the one that we are reading today is called The Rise of the Sovereign Individual: How Power is Realigning Itself in an Internet Native World. I think this will be a good one to close out the week and should spark some fun discussion. The Rise of the Sovereign Individual: How Power is Realigning Itself in an Internet-Native World. Not too long ago, the Internet was a fringe phenomenon. Very few people saw the benefits of a global communications network. Even fewer people had the vision and the foresight to see what it might enable. Today, most people take the Internet for granted. It is simply expected to be there, like running water in your home. Even before the Internet became ubiquitous, technologists and visionaries realized the potential of this transformative technology. They realized that an undiscriminating network combined with the magical power of public key cryptography tips the power balance in the individual's favor. Eavesdropping resistant communication, which can't be stopped, is poison to authoritarian regimes, which, after all, are in the business of suppressing and controlling the flow of information. If people are still able to communicate and assemble, they can rise up and speak truth to power. We saw the liberating potential of communications technology during the Arab Spring, and we continue to see individuals rise up and fight authoritarian rule today. What the cypherpunks understood 30 years ago is starting to play out right before our eyes. The tools of our information age have the potential to empower individuals like never before. The freedom to transact. As I am writing these lines, hundreds of thousands of people are marching in the streets of Hong Kong, protesting against an extradition bill proposed by the government. As always, protests like these shine a light on the current power balance between individuals and the powers that be. Unfortunately, the current system of surveillance, automated facial recognition, and cashless transfers enables not only a single point of failure, but also a single point of control in times of unrest. If the government doesn't like your opinion, or the fact that you're a part of a peaceful protest, a simple truth becomes apparent. Your freedom of assembly was an illusion, as was your freedom to transact freely. In a free society, these freedoms should be guaranteed. How? Well, as we have seen in the past, information technology and strong cryptography, if used carefully, guarantee the right to speak freely. After all, no amount of violence will ever solve a math problem. In the same vein, an information technology exists today which guarantees the right to transact freely. Bitcoin. It is easy to forget that permissionless and censorship-resistant are more than mere buzzwords. Under difficult circumstances, these words become a matter of life and death. The Hong Kong protests make evident once again what privacy advocates have been preaching for years, even decades. If censorship and surveillance are built into the system, it will be used and abused by those who are in charge. And if you don't have the option to detach from your identity, free speech, free thought, and free action are impossible. What is true for WeChat, Facebook, and Google is also true for our current payment rails and the financial institutions of this world. No matter how noble the motivation of building central controls into communication or financial systems, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, as the saying goes. Quote, "Decentralized and private payments are a necessary innovation for a digital future where we retain our civil liberties and personal freedoms," end quote. Alex Gladstein. Strong cryptography allows us to reclaim our right to private conversations in the digital age, thanks to end-to-end encryption. The same cryptography allows us to reclaim our right to transact freely in a digital world, thanks to digital signatures, cryptographic hashes, and the global machine of truth and freedom, which is Bitcoin. The freedom to remain private. In today's digital world, as Hong Kong protesters know, finding out who went to which protest is as easy as retrieving data from a database. Whether it is from people's bank accounts, WeChat, Alipay, or other virtual profiles, the convenience of the status quo inevitably leads to a system of total surveillance, and thus, total control. The solution to this conundrum is enabling privacy by default, which has been the default setting for thousands of years. Neither the internet nor Bitcoin is perfect in this regard, which is why constant vigilance and the development of privacy-enhancing technology are a necessity. In the last couple of years, efforts to encrypt all internet traffic by default have been made. In the next couple of years, we hope to see continued efforts being made to make every Bitcoin transaction even more private than they are now, which is one of the reasons why Bold Bitcoin uses Wasabi's CoinJoin by default. As is evidenced by the long lines at Hong Kong's train ticketing machines, surveillance renders all other freedoms useless. The current situation in Hong Kong paints a vivid picture of the disastrous side effects of a cashless society. Without a way to transact privately and anonymously, people are enslaved to the masters of finance, and no amount of going digitally dark will allow you to avoid the slavery. Arguably, things are bound to go from bad to worse. The financial elite, which controls the most important good of our society, money itself, is playing God with our shared macroeconomic reality. In the last couple of decades, a concerted effort was made to attack another financial freedom, the freedom to save. The freedom to save. Even without people marching in the streets, it is apparent to most that these are chaotic times. Currencies are not holding their value. A recession is looming. The most powerful men in the world are openly fighting currency wars and are bragging about it on Twitter. All while the endless printing of money continues and politicians and bankers are spewing propaganda to normalize negative interest rates. People talk about quantitative easing and negative interest rates policies as if they were anything other than pure insanity. The first is simply printing massive amounts of money. The second is paying borrowers and stealing from savers. Gone are the days where you would get interest from your money in the bank. In the world of negative interest rate policies, you have to pay the bank to hold your money. In the same vein, gone are the days where you have to pay back your loan plus a little extra to reimburse your lender for taking on the risk. In a world of negative interest rate policy, you are getting paid to take out a loan. Need some money? No worries. We are giving you the money and are paying you a little extra for enjoying the privilege of giving you a loan. As should be apparent for every child which is offered the choice between two marshmallows today or one marshmallow tomorrow, the current financial world is defying common sense. I repeat, pure insanity. More and more people realize that this insanity has to stop and decide to exit a system in which a global negative-yielding debt of $15 trillion is the new normal. The broken financial system, with its negative interest rates and modern monetary policies, are in part responsible for the rise of sovereign individuals all over the world. People begin to realize the stupidity of this game. Putting pressure on this broken system by making a run on banks is one form of peaceful protest. Storing your value in an asset which cannot be inflated, cannot be confiscated, and cannot be subject to the whim of politicians and bankers is another one. Quote, "Sats are my safe haven." Matt Odell. Bitcoin is quickly becoming a safe haven asset, especially for people who don't have easy access to more stable currencies than their own. On a long enough timescale, Bitcoin offers stability in a world of global instability. It guarantees the right to save. Nobody will be able to take away your sats. You must give them away willingly. Building towards a sovereign future. People are fed up with the tyranny of the banks, the tyranny of the state, the tyranny of Facebook, WeChat, Sina Weibo, and everything else which is too big to fail. It is our collective responsibility to build a better future, a future where the freedom to transact, the freedom to remain private, and the freedom to save your wealth over time are guaranteed. In the words of the United Nations, the same rights and freedoms people have offline must also be protected online. We want to help build a world which enables sovereign individuals to strive. A world where every individual, and every company for that matter, can use freedom-enabling technologies as they see fit without asking anyone for permission. This is one of the reasons why we have released Cyphernode, a suite of software and utilities to operate enterprise-grade Bitcoin services as free software. While it is debatable whether Bitcoin can literally solve every problem of the world, it is undoubtedly a big piece of the puzzle. Technologies which empower the individual are more important than ever before. Technologies which enable you to remain private, speak, and transact freely, or tip the balance of power towards the individual in another way, will be invaluable for the world we are heading towards. China is giving us a taste of what living in a dystopian surveillance state is like. You cross the street at the wrong place or the wrong time, and thanks to facial recognition, a fine is automatically deducted from your bank account, while an algorithm adjusts your social credit score downwards. You pay for a bus ticket to take part in a peaceful protest, and you are at risk of being erased from the central registry, effectively erasing your ability to live a normal life as a citizen. It might happen today, it might happen tomorrow, or at any point in the future. The surveillance state does not forget. The tools to guarantee freedom for all exist today. They are just not evenly distributed, not well understood, and not widely deployed. However, with every passing day, more and more people are realizing what kind of power is in their hands. We encourage you to stay strong. We encourage you to keep building. We encourage you to not give in to tyranny. We and many people like us will do our best to build towards a better future. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to buy Bitcoin. All right, and that was Dare GG's piece. The Rise of the Sovereign Individual, and I don't think I mentioned that that was actually on the Bull Bitcoin Medium page. So let's hit our sponsor really quick, and then we will jump into some commentary on this piece. Now, I want to say, if you have not checked out Bull Bitcoin yet, you definitely should. They are doing some really cool stuff over there. Now, I will admit, I have not used Cyphernode yet. And in fact, this article was the first I had heard of it. So the links are actually, obviously, I'll link to this actual article so you can go check it out. And all the links to Cyphernode and the other stuff are in here. So if you want to play around with it, I definitely recommend it. It looks like something that's going to be a really cool tool to play around with. And hopefully I get a chance to start tinkering with things pretty soon here. Now, if you needed a really succinct, doesn't really have any fat on it, explanation or like breakdown argument of why we need Bitcoin and what we are attempting to do, what the purpose of the crypto economy is, and what future we are trying to build, this is pretty much it. This is the argument laid out. The financial system is broken. Negative interest rates are absolute, like pure insanity. You can't explain it any better than that. That's what it is. It is absolute pure insanity. It is saying that the people who make value in the world should have it confiscated to the benefit of those who are borrowing, consuming, and not doing anything. That's literally what it means to lend someone money that has been printed out of thin air at negative interest rates, no less. You are encouraging them to pool resources, to suck real scarce people needed to live and survive resources out of the economic pool, waste them, and not put them back. You're creating a system to do exactly that. It is parasitic. It is parasitic and poisonous, and it will destroy a financial system. It will destroy a society if it continues unabated. It has to crash. There is literally no way around it. It is a policy that is 100% at odds with the truth. There is no such thing as infinite resources, and that is what they are betting on. That is what they think, that the idea of forcing people, it's the concept that if we just let some people consume all the resources, everyone else will work harder to get those resources back. Well, the people that you're forcing to work harder were the people who made the resources in the first place. It's like instead of going out and producing food, we're just going to eat our arms and legs in order to survive. And it's like, look, we have a lot of great meals. Everything's fantastic. Well, no, you're going to run out of space. You're going to run out of food. You're going to run out. We're just going to die. There is a very limited amount of time with which we can do this because we're not producing food. We're just eating ourselves until the gig is up. And the right to transact freely, that's one thing. I like that he talks about the right to save and the right to transact freely. Because with those two things, without those two things, you really don't have any other rights. It's one of those things like we talked about in yesterday's episode, how censorship resistance, like a store of value, an independent store of value, is dependent upon censorship resistance and decentralization. Without those two things, without decentralization, which from that you get censorship resistance, and from censorship resistance you get store of value, those other things are not possible. It is not independent if it is not decentralized. Therefore, none of those other things can actually exist. They are dependent on each other in order to exist. In that same way, the freedom to transact and the freedom to store value, the freedom to save your capital and the value that you have earned and made in the world, that is what you do. That's the whole act of living and producing. That's what your entire ability to consume is based on. That is an extension of your right to your body and what you actually make in the world. It's your extension of actually being able to make food for yourself. Like, if you don't have that freedom, you don't have the freedom to eat. If that can be taken from you, well, then you don't have the right to live. There is literally no other right. If you don't have the right to own you, your labor, and what you produce with it, well, then you've lost the right to actually provide for yourself. It's like saying that, oh, you have the right to love whoever you want, but you're going to marry and spend your entire life with who we say you should spend your life with. That's not freedom. That's a joke. And as he says, I think Hong Kong and China are a perfect example of why, if we don't build these things, if we don't have these things by default, we simply won't have them, because there is massive control, power, and money to be made from taking it from other people. And as long as there are avenues, as long as the bug is in the code, as long as there's a way to wipe out the smart contract without following the rules, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Someone will utilize it to abuse other people, to abuse the power, to abuse their position. It simply can't exist. It has to be built in by default at the base layer. We cannot wait for Google to do no evil. We cannot just trust them with the ability to destroy everyone's lives, to control what everyone sees, and to control what everyone hears and is exposed to and who they can talk with, and control them with all of our information, and then think, oh, well, luckily they just won't do evil. Because it's simply not true. Google is not a trustworthy person. Google is a group of random people who we don't know. We just personify these things. You can't say that Google is evil or good. Google is a bunch of different people at different times throughout its history. There is no consistency in that. It is a question of whether or not the incentives will reward them for abusing their power. And it will. Right now it will. If you leave those vulnerabilities open, if you leave a bug in the code for which someone can greatly profit from, which is what we're doing in this situation. We are leaving a bug in the code. We are allowing privacy to be eliminated by default. They will abuse it. They will profit from it. And it will be used to control populations and to control people. And China could not be the more perfect example of exactly what that might look like. And that is a dystopian future. It's a horrible future that I don't want to be a part of. That's the whole reason I started the show. This whole reason I'm in Bitcoin. This is a great summary of the nonsense that we are trying to fix. And this is all deeply tied also to the right to privacy, which was the original, the core of the cypherpunk, you know, manifesto, is that, like, privacy is so critical, and I've talked about this, we've done a number of episodes, though it's been quite a while since I've hit something specifically on privacy and the philosophy of privacy. But we are entirely different people when, like, as social organisms, we are very different when we know we are being watched. We do not behave the same, we do not say the same things, we become mirrors of the social pressures that we are being held to. We are only able to be 100% ourselves when we are fully private. There was a video, or a set of videos on, like, YouTube, that where you have these, like, hidden cameras of people, like, just being themselves around their houses, like, and they don't know they're being watched, and, you know, they're just singing and they're just kind of, like, dancing and doing weird things, and then just being wholly them, because they're not thinking about what they're doing. They're totally in the moment, and they're unconcerned. They're not looking at themselves. They're not watching themselves dance. They're not listening to themselves sing a song about the pots and pans that they're putting on the stove. They're just being. They're being an individual. They're being whoever it is they actually are at their core. And then there's this look of horror when they find out that they've been recorded and they were picking their nose or something. Suddenly, all the social judgments come rushing back in. And it's funny, like, the YouTube videos are comical and It's not like a terrible, awful thing or whatever, but it's just funny to see the complete dichotomy between someone who thinks or knows they're being watched versus someone who is just being themselves. And it is so critical that we are able to have the thoughts that challenge who we are. We can think differently aside from social pressure. Social pressure is exactly what caused the Nazis to come to power. It was everybody just wanting to be part of the winning team as opposed to actually judging things on their merit and their morals. Everybody was just trying to fit in. It is one of the, at the same time that it's a powerful force for good in certain circumstances, it's also a horrible force for just horrific evils in the past. Because we are so desperate to please, and that was one of the most brilliant and just diabolical things that the Nazis did in Germany, was to force everyone to say, you know, talk a turn in your parents when you hear them talking about how the Nazis are bad, or turn in your friends, watch your neighbors. They turn everybody on everybody else, and it basically turns into this surveillance state where you don't know who to trust and you feel you're being watched all the time. I read something, I can't remember where it was. Was it in like the Gulag Archipelago or something? I can't remember because I haven't read that in full. It was an excerpt from something, but it was somebody, I swear I think it was from Nazi Germany, and they were simply talking about what it felt like to walk around. There was this huge weight, like a constant social pressure that they just felt they're always being judged, they're always being watched, and they have to be so careful about picking their words because they simply can't say a challenging thought. They can't push against the status quo because the status quo would literally put them in a black bag and make them disappear. And as crazy as it sounds, all you have to do is leave the bug in the system. It is not a matter of picking the right people to lead. It is a matter of if it is there, it will be exploited one way or the other. It will reach that point. And that's why it's so critical that Bitcoin is at the core of what we do, because I don't think anything else, like I don't think that you have any sort of freedom. If you don't have the freedom to spend your labor, your time, and your value, if you don't have the freedom to spend your life producing the world that you seek to produce, as long as you are not encroaching or infringing on someone else's rights, then you don't have the freedom to do anything. And if you don't have the freedom to use the money you choose to save your value how you see fit and to spend it how you see fit, well, then you don't have that right. You don't have any freedom. And because of that, that's why I argue again and again, decentralized digital money is what all of this hinges on. I don't think any of the other goals are sustainable without a way to exchange and build and create value freely that cannot be confiscated. And I don't mean that just in like, oh, give me your keys and I'm going to steal your Bitcoin. I mean that they cannot direct $15 trillion worth of negative interest lending against the capital that you are providing to the world. It means that you are going to work every day and they are sucking everything that you are producing in your life, in your world, and they are using it to manipulate it for their vision of the world. They are taking those resources and they are making bombs and wars instead of the service that you are bringing to other people, the help that you gave to the person to solve their problem, the customer support, building the product that's going to make somebody's life a little bit better. That is being taken from you because they take it out of your money. Not directly from your bank account, not from your check. Well, I mean, they do that as well, but not directly from any of those things. They take it, they don't take it straight from you. They literally take it from the value of your money. That is what they are doing. Every time they print money, they are saying, these are the things you created into the world that you wanted to spend on you and your life and your vision, and we are going to use it for us, our lives, and our vision. And they aren't doing this a little bit. We're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. We're talking about hundreds of millions of people, if not billions of people, worth of value produced in the world going to what they seek to create. It is an economic parasite on an utterly massive scale. And we don't get these rights from these people. We don't get these rights from these systems. We have them. We're just giving them up because we're not watching how quickly they are being eroded. We're just not paying attention. That's the problem. But we have the right to privacy. We have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to transact freely. We have the right to produce value. We have the right to think controversial thoughts and to say controversial things. It is not a question. You have the right. The question is, are you going to defend it? Are you going to build the defenses to ensure that you have those rights? Because nobody else is going to give them to you. Nobody else is going to protect your rights for you. That is the foundation of liberty, is that your life and your rights are your responsibility. Other people will try to take them, but we have an obligation, building this entirely new world, to use the tools that will secure them for everyone else. If you want your kid to have the right to think a controversial thought, to challenge the status quo and go, you know, that might just not be right. If you want the right to innovate, to actually change things and make the future better rather than the same crap that it is and make the same mistakes over and over and over again, if you want them to have the right to be who they want to be and who they actually are in this world, not what everybody else tells them they have to be, but who they actually are. If you want them to find that out, then it is our obligation to ensure that we're all using the tools, not just for ourselves, not just to protect our rights, but so that everyone else has these rights by default. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and I think we've been handed a gift. I think we've been handed an unbelievable gift and responsibility at the same time. But the gift is that it is so much easier to get that individual liberty and that individual sovereignty now than it ever has been before. It's genuinely a matter of installing the right software. So if we lose it because of convenience, then maybe we didn't deserve it in the first place. I would way more rather take the risk of granting everyone the responsibility of their lives. Because that's what freedom is. If we can do this down to an individual layer at level where the protocols are what guarantee, the protocols by which we live and by which we secure our communication, our value, our trade, our lives, if it enables liberty as the default, that's at the base layer, so strongly that a state is not possible, I'm totally okay with that. I'm totally okay with taking that risk because I don't hate people. People are shitty sometimes, but I think it's usually the environment, the situation, the lack of communication, the lack of being able to reach out to somebody, and I think it feeds back on itself. But I don't hate people. I don't hate my species. I don't want them all to be in cages. I think if you give people responsibility, if you assume straight out the gate, if you say, I respect you as a human being first, I don't care what your political party is. I don't care what your views on life are. As long as I will grant you the respect of just being a person whom I don't know yet, and you have yet to prove to me that you are bad. Therefore, you have your life. And I am not scared to let you be free. Because that's the question. Will we allow other people to be free? We all want freedom for ourselves. The question is, will we allow that other person? Will we judge them prior? That if they had a gun, no, they're just going to go out and shoot everybody. Do they have the ability to transact how they want to? No, they're just going to buy drugs and heroin and they're just going to shoot up a bunch of kids in a playground. Like, that is what it is. It is whether or not we respect other people enough to treat them as humans rather than the projection of what we hate about other people. I don't want that to be the barometer by which we make decisions. I don't want that to be how society is run. I don't want that to be how we decide who gets to be free, who gets rights and who doesn't. It is the assumption of guilt prior to any action or proof of it. I mean, is that not the challenge every single time when you hear people say it's like, oh no, they can't use, oh, we can't have the internet because people will just say whatever they want to say. Oh, we can't have Bitcoin because people will just buy and they'll just do business with whoever they want to do business with. That would be horrible. But they're not concerned about themselves. They're concerned about the imaginary people who they think are going to be horrific. All the imaginary people that they think are going to do some terrible thing with it. They will want and will attempt to get their own freedom. They just don't want to give it to somebody else. That is the essence of that. It is that, yes, of course, I will do business with who I want. If I want to smoke a little weed, I will do it, and I won't judge myself. I won't think I'm a terrible person because I'm just smoking a little weed. It's like, you know, Obama or the president, like every president has smoked weed, but they have no problem prosecuting other people for marijuana. Of course, they understand their reasons and justifications for things. It's that they cannot accept that other people have them as well. It's always about whether or not you are willing to give other people freedom. That's what Bitcoin forces us to do. It says, I am going to use a system that requires everyone have the same rights as me. I actually want an even playing field. I don't just say I want an even playing field and then want to subjectively manipulate the field to what I think is even. I want it to be objectively flat. And you know, we as human tend to reflect what people expect us to be. You know, if you go to a mechanic and you talk and act to this person, you interact with this person as if they're going to scam you, like that you're just super defensive and you're just immediately like, what are you doing that for? You're trying to scam me out of a bunch of money? What are you just going to break something and force me to pay for it? If you do that, you're going to piss them off and they're probably going to scam you. You will constantly, if you assume the whole world is out to get you, you will create exactly the situation that you are expecting because everybody will hate to work with you. Everybody will think you are a shitty person. They'll be angry at you and they'll attack you. They will feel constantly attacked. They will feel like, holy crap, I cannot believe how much this person disrespected me. And they will feel justified in attacking us. That is exactly how we create the world around us that we think is going to be there, that we expect. It was a really fascinating experiment. I think it was on YouTube, actually. Just a fun... It's set up as just like this kind of comedic thing, but it's a fascinating social experiment. Was somebody would just take a wad of cash and go to random people on like a subway or just like out and about and like look really busy and like try to do a bunch of stuff. And they would literally just take the wad of cash and be like, hey, can you hold this? Can you take care of this for me for just a second? To like the person next to them and see if they run off. And what's funny is when someone puts that level of trust in a complete stranger, they immediately assume the role. They're like, oh man, I need to, it looks hilarious because they're like looking around at other people, like holding this giant wad of cash. It's like, what is this person doing? Is this person crazy? But it was not stolen. It was never stolen. Like everybody, every random person, they just handed a giant wad of cash, kept it safe for them while they were busy looking through stuff. They could have just got up, walked out, and left. And every one of them kept it safe. I don't know. I just think people have an incredible capacity for good if you give them the chance to be. And you give them the default assumption that until they do something wrong, they're going to do the right thing. And I think one of the most important keys to producing exactly that kind of people, to produce that kind of society, is to build these things in, to build these rights and these liberties in by default so that they grow up being responsible for their lives. That they know what it's like to make decisions for themselves and reap the rewards or pay the price of those decisions. And I think the loss of liberty is what mucks that up. It ruins entire generations. It takes decades to recover from. And I really think we're being given another chance to recreate this from the bottom up. I think the pressure is there. I think the transition is happening and we have the tools to pull this off, I really just think we have to build it. And that's what has fascinated me about this technology. I love people. I think we have incredible capacity to do so much great stuff with our time and our energy. And I think it's totally possible. I think it's absolutely possible. And I think people will change, not because the people will be different, but because people will respond to their environment. When you treat people with respect, when you stop and say, I love you enough to give you the right and full responsibility over your life. And if you need help, ask for it. But somebody's got to extend an olive branch here. Somebody has to. Somebody has to be the first one to be like, all right, let's put all this shit behind us and let's start from square one. Let's not care about whose race is what. Let's not care about whose religion is what. Let's not, everybody is just a human and you are afforded a basic set of rights, and let's start from there. And if it means that we have to adopt the money that forces us to do that, even better, because then we can't forget, we can't subjectively attempt to redefine what that right is. If we cryptographically prove what that is by just the sheer right to transact with whoever we want and to hold an asset that cannot be devalued by anyone, perfect. Even way, way better. Leave no bugs in the system to destroy that censorship resistance, to destroy that power over your labor, your body, and what you produce in the world. Oh, that one got me worked up. All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. Don't forget to follow Dare Gigi and Bull Bitcoin as well. They've got a lot of awesome stuff, as always. So much more stuff to dig into. I will be linking to all of that good stuff in the show notes, so don't forget to check it out. And, of course, follow me at The Crypto Economy on Twitter. If you want there to be more liberty in the world, if you want there to be more freedom, if you want everyone, regardless of who they are, where they are, what their religion, what their race, what their sexual orientation, whatever it is, if you want them all to have equal rights, if you want them to all be 100% equal, at least in the eyes of, or at least in the context of where they can do business and who they can associate with and who they can communicate with, well, then encrypt your communication and use Bitcoin and get them to do the same. Teach them how to do the same and tell them why they should do the same. And I think that's how we're going to get it. I think that's the only way we really can get it, because we are flawed as humans and we deeply misunderstand how to actually achieve these things sometimes, because we're so blinded by our subjective value judgments that we forget that really at the foundation, we just have to treat each other as equal. Like truly equal. And Bitcoin does that. Bitcoin does that for us. It skips that step so that we don't have to think about it. And that's why I think we need it. Because I just think freedom is better. So hopefully you guys agree with me. That'll be all for today. Have a wonderful weekend. And thank you guys for listening. I am Guy Swan. And until next time, take it easy, guys.